You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Up next, we have a piece on the economic effects of COVID on local businesses. As Auckland waits for the government announcement at 3pm regarding potential change to our alert levels, local hospitality businesses are eagerly awaiting news regarding whether they can resume business as usual. Lockdown restrictions, along with this COVID-19 induced change to our economic climate, sees local businesses forced to adapt their business models to suit these changing times. The required move to contactless services has forced small businesses to consider how they are to maintain the desired level of service as well as good customer relations, which is especially hard considering the uncertainty of future operations. To begin, producer Anika Mohid interviewed Tane, co-owner of the popular Bestie Cafe in the heart of St. Kevin's Arcade, to see how they've adapted to contactless service and what this means for their team.
Hey, so to start with, could you please introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about Bestie Cafe?
Cool, yeah. Hi, I'm Tane. I'm co-owner of Bestie. We're the cafe down the back of St. Kevin's Arcade. Bestie is just a chill space. You're all probably familiar with it. Just coffee and yummy foods and stuff.
Awesome. And what motivated you to stay open during level three?
Probably mostly just to keep our sanity, you know, like last time, lockdown get a bit stir crazy and it was quite fun to be able to come to work, even though that sounds weird, but like, you know.
Totally. And what safety measures did you have in place to ensure the safety of all your staff members working during this time?
We're quite lucky, like our space is quite big, so we can physically distance pretty easily, and we've got like gloves and masks and stuff available, lots of hand sanitizer. Obviously, we wash our hands heaps anyway, being in hospitality, like you're handling food and stuff, so all that hygiene stuff comes pretty natural.
So are you guys expecting another round of wage subsidy payments from the government? And what challenges do you anticipate if there isn't the same financial support as there was last time?
I think I'm expecting some news on Monday. I think about a new kind of wage subsidy. Obviously, we could apply for the existing extension, but I think the way that's worded, it can't be an expected loss, which means we wouldn't like meet the criteria currently. So I think they're going to open that up a bit more. But without the wage subsidy, obviously we'd have to like look at staffing a lot more, and you know, staff would have to be forced to take leave and that kind of stuff. So it would be a bit more difficult.
And did you feel any pressure from your customers or regulars to stay open during this time?
Not so much pressure, but we just wanted to be there for our regulars, and we know that like our regulars want to support us as well. So it's kind of like if we're open, they want to come in and support us, and we want to be there to like, you know, give them coffee and treats and stuff.
So would you say the decision to stay open has strengthened your relationship with your regulars and customers?
I don't know, we're getting kind of tight with like a few of the people that were like core supporters during last level three and level two, so that's been kind of cool.
So have you guys felt that the cost of staying open has been worth the payoff so far?
Yeah, I'm not like super good at that kind of deep dive business stuff, but I definitely think it is worth it. Like any income is worth staying open. And you know, the wage subsidy definitely helped with staffing costs. So that kind of thing, it was definitely 100% worth it.
And how did you guys have to adapt your menu to come up with takeaway options that were as good as dining in?
We just basically had to like slightly modify things and do things that are kind of easily put into a takeaway box. Fortunately, like a lot of our menu is kind of that takeaway friendly stuff anyway, like toasties. We've got like a burger thing, and sort of muesli and rice pudding and stuff like that. So it's kind of, it was pretty adaptable anyway, but it's a bit harder to do like poached eggs in a box. So,
of course, and looking ahead, you know, obviously unsure about whether level three will be extended or how long you'll have to operate under level two restrictions. So, how are you and the team feeling about that?
Yeah, obviously it's not ideal. We like We like to do, you know, a certain kind of service where we can interact with our customers. So we'll be real keen to get back to that. But we're just keen to do our bit and do what we got to do.
Anika then interviewed Tom from the Mercury Plaza in Cross Street to see what they're up to while they are closed for service during Level 3 and how they're thinking of adapting future plans for the space.
Just to start with, could you please introduce yourself and just tell me a little bit about the Mercury Plaza?
Hi, my name is Tom McMillan and I'm a part owner of a new cafe and shared space called the Mercury Plaza. And we've just opened it below the tattoo studio that I own, which is called Sunset Tattoo.
Awesome. And so I saw you guys are staying closed for Level 3. What kind of motivated the decision behind that?
Two reasons. One is that we're very much a destination store, so we don't rely in any way on foot traffic, and especially with the new, well, the kind of recent construction around the city, foot traffic's even worse than it used to be. There's the CRL being built and the bike lanes and everything up on K Road, so the city's so down that our entire business plan is based around getting people in, and that became, probably impossible once everyone's gone home. The other reason was just that we're so new that it's sort of just easier for us to stop, and we've got so much planning to do over the next full year that we kind of just thought we'd use the time to enhance the space and come up with a bunch of new stuff to do that makes it more of a destination store.
Yeah, of course, because I guess you guys are still building up like your regular clientele and stuff.
Yeah, and part of our plan is to have events and workshops and art shows and stuff like that in the space. So we've got so much planning to do around that. We could probably use the 2 weeks full time, all four of us who are sort of very involved in the day-to-day running of the cafe.
So is the whole team going to stay working during these 2 weeks?
Yeah, we think so, pretty much. Yeah, like I said, we've got so much to do behind the scenes, but we definitely don't think for us that opening it'll end up costing more money, and because we can't tattoo, we've had our incomes 100% eliminated on that front, so it's just not worth the risk.
Totally. And are you guys expecting another round of wage subsidy payments similar to the ones earlier this year?
Well, our position's really interesting with that because we're a brand new business. So we actually planned to open April 1st, and then the first wave of coronavirus came. So we couldn't open, which meant that we spent the whole of Level 3 last time actually constructing the space. So we didn't get any subsidies at that point. Oh. And so now that we're a new business, we've only been trading since the 23rd of June. So it would be very interesting if there's anyone else out there who's in the same position as us, but we still don't know whether we'll be able to claim anything at all. So at this point, we legally have to pay all our staff, based on their contracts, but we don't know if we'll get it, but we'll try if we can.
Yeah, so obviously from a financial standpoint, you can't really think about being reliant on that at the moment.
We hope that there's a way. It's just a bit vague, so it's just a conversation we've got to have. That's kind of that's just us. If you're an established business, it's going to be really easy to prove that your income's down. Yeah.
And obviously, you guys are in quite an interesting position, being an event space as much as you are a cafe. I saw you have something. You had something scheduled for the 28th of August.
Yeah.
How's that looking?
Well, it's a really exciting one. We've got about 30 people involved in an art show with a draw, like just based around drawing or the art of drawing. So it's something that we're real excited about. And what we found with, that little period of Level 1 that we had is that people were super keen to come and do stuff and hang out and do events and get out of the house. So we were so confident that that was going to be a total winner, and I still really love the concept and we still want to do it. It's just we're in that unknown place now, and we don't know what people are going to be like when we come out, whether they're going to be keen to come to an opening. So at this point, we're just in discussions now about changing it from a nighttime art opening, which would be on a Friday night, just to having a daytime show and having it more like a walkthrough thing, and then it's a bit more controlled. Yeah, more casual and way more easy to do the social distancing and stuff like that.
Did you have anything else you'd want to add or you wanted to talk about?
If I could shamelessly promote the space, that would be amazing. We've got a we've got a competition running, which was just going to be for just of August, but we're going to extend it out, which is if you come down and spend $10, you go in the draw to win $1,000 in tattoo vouchers upstairs at Sunset Tattoo, which has been going really well. So I'd just like to let everyone know that's happening and not going to stop, and we'll extend it out through September. And, yeah, if you're interested in art and drawing, keep an eye on our social media feed for when we're going to have this art show with 30 awesome artists from Auckland and around New Zealand.
All right, finally, Anika talked to economist Dr. Jonathan Baker to provide some academic insight on the fate of small local businesses. And she began by asking him how many local businesses he believes might not be able to survive the changing economic climate looking forward.
Okay, and looking ahead, it's expected that the hospitality industry is going to take a relatively hard hit economically, and we assume that this will disproportionately affect small local businesses. In order to stay afloat, do you see them being forced to make significant staff cuts or maybe cuts to their service options?
Yeah, so it is a very difficult situation, obviously, for hospitality, and unfortunately also the employees who work in that sector often, you know, they're not in the most secure situation themselves. So there are some rough times there.
So just wondering if in order to stay afloat, they'll kind of be forced to make those significant staff cuts and maybe change how they're operating at the moment. So the range of services offered might have to be cut down, stuff like that.
Yeah, so most of those businesses, you could say, offer predominantly operate with a fairly agile business model, you could say, because a lot of them rely on contract labour or our you know, staff working on hourly contracts only. So as a result, which is not great for the employees, of course, but as a result, those businesses can make modifications to cut down on their on the staff costs. Hopefully the wage subsidy can help a lot of these businesses continue through, and it would be nice to think that if we can get this current outbreak under control again as soon as possible, then the businesses can reopen and we can see the kind of rapid growth in consumer spending like we did after the previous lockdown. Hopefully we can see that kind of growth, that bounce back again, which might be able to provide enough cash coming in through the doors to allow the businesses to continue to operate.
Because looking at that rapid growth that happened after the last lockdown, do you see a similar trend sort of definitely happening this time, or maybe not because it's the second time around?
Yeah, I guess the problem is that the number of employees and businesses that have been able to qualify for the extension of the wage subsidy is far fewer than previously, although we aren't suffering such an extreme lockdown. So as you mentioned, you know, there are hospitality businesses that are still trying to operate in some way, offering contactless sales and so forth. The wider problem, I guess, is that the macro economic environment itself might start to deteriorate more rapidly, especially if some consumer confidence goes out the window, as it appears that maybe New Zealand can't contain the coronavirus like it can, and if a vaccine is very slow in arriving. So either way, I guess, though, it's up to those business people to either hope for the best and continue to trade and maybe try and get some flexibility in staff numbers, or they, I guess, take more drastic action.
So obviously at the moment there's a fair amount of uncertainty looking forward in terms of what the restrictions are going to look like for the rest of the year. And during these periods of level three, we see a lot of local businesses operating at a smaller capacity. Do you see this becoming maybe a more permanent business model in the future?
Yes, unfortunately, it probably is. You know, and multiple sectors are suffering this problem too. Unfortunately, it would seem that a lot of business owners will try to anticipate some sort of recession by laying staff off. I personally have concerns about that kind of attitude, but you need a robust business to not react in that way. But of course, my concerns are that business leaders try to respond to a forecast recession that is ultimately driven by unemployment by creating unemployment. And so it sort of becomes one of those catch-22 situations where the recession will arrive because of unemployment, but it's unemployment that was created in anticipation of the recession. So it would be nice to think that maybe some of these small business owners and operators can think quite creatively about ways around the current problems and the current uncertainty. And a big possibility I see for a lot of smaller businesses is how to collaborate with others, how to try and form some sort of collectives that can work together with staffing and so forth. To try and basically collectively insulate yourselves against problems as they arise.
So when you say collective, do you mean maybe if there's a base of staff that don't necessarily work for one business but are able to work around multiple businesses depending on where the need is at any given time?
Yeah, and obviously there's going to be all sorts of restrictions around that. I'm not necessarily saying that the collective should be formed by the employees, but more it would be nice to see business owners themselves, especially if they have, you know, highly talented staff, it would be nice to see them working collaboratively with similar businesses elsewhere to try and keep people working.
And just quickly, do you believe that established businesses who have already kind of cultivated a significant customer base are going to fare better than newer businesses that are still in the process of doing so? Or is it going to be a matter of changing maybe marketing styles and techniques to sort of suit different needs and different areas of growth?
Yeah, I don't think newness is actually necessarily a liability in this kind of situation. A lot of consumers are often attracted to something that's new, especially like you're saying, you know, you're talking about local cafes and so forth. And a lot of people can be attracted to something that is local, especially if they see a local business that is still continuing to hire staff and trying to contribute to that local community. I do think that sense of community and social responsibility by business, and I know this is easy for me to say, right, because I'm not a business owner myself, but I think that local neighbourhoods and local communities do tend to respond quite positively to businesses who are clearly working hard to keep people employed and working hard to continue to provide a good service to that local community.
And in terms of local communities, just in terms of the Auckland area, how much of a factor do you think geographical location may have in the survival of small businesses? So like places in town which have higher levels of foot traffic, would they maybe be in a better position than businesses out in the suburbs, or should that not really matter too much?
Well, sadly, I think actually it seems to me that the central city is experiencing quite a large drop in foot traffic. You think about the thousands and thousands of international students who typically live in the city who aren't there at the moment. So I think a lot of those businesses in those kinds of areas in the CBD central area are probably going to struggle a bit. Besides that, I guess the you know, the higher socio-demographic areas, the cafes and so forth in those areas, where you've got people working in service industries or tertiary industries, they might be a little more insulated. It's hard to know definitively, I guess, but time will tell.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.